Our gospel lesson today is Luke 14, 7-14. Hear this word of the Lord for you today. When Jesus noticed how the guests chose the places of honor, he told them a parable. When you are invited by someone to a wedding banquet, do not sit down at the place of honor in case someone more distinguished than you has been invited by your host. And the host who invited both of you may come and say to you, "Give this person your place." Then in disgrace, you would start to take the lowest place. But when you are invited, go and sit down at the lowest place, so that when your host comes, he may say to you, "Friend, move up higher." Then you will be honored in the presence of all who sit at the table with you. For all who exalt themselves will be humbled, and those who humble themselves will be exalted. He said also to the one who had invited him, "When you give a luncheon or a dinner, do not invite your friends or brothers or relatives or rich neighbors, in case they may invite you in return and you would be repaid. But when you give a banquet, invite the poor, the crippled, the lame, and the blind, and you will be blessed because they cannot repay you, for you will be repaid at the resurrection of the righteous." Friends, this is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. Good and gracious God, pour out your Holy Spirit upon the meditations of my mouth and of our hearts. This we pray in Christ's name. Amen. After officiating at a funeral, the pastor was asked to lead the funeral procession to the cemetery. So he got into his car and started driving at the head of the procession. He flipped on his radio, became preoccupied, and lost in thought. About that time, he passed a store and thought about something he needed to pick up. As soon as he turned into the parking lot, he just happened to glance into the rearview mirror and saw the string of cars following, all with their lights on. I remember one day in my last call, I was feeling good about Sunday school. I was looking forward to a great worship service, and I stopped into the restroom before worship, and just then, a woman comes flying in screaming, "Your microphone is on!" Let's just say you only make that mistake once. When my son was little and it was career day at his elementary school, I just knew he would invite me to come. I mean, there were no other female pastors in town. No other kid would have a pastor mom. Well, I was quickly informed that if I worked at Sonic and wore roller skates to work, like he had suggested when I took a job at a church, then I would be asked to career day. When have you been humbled by life? Humility doesn't come easily, does it? Isn't it something most of us learn the hard way? So what does it mean for us to be humble like Jesus? What does humility mean to you? Jesus illustrated it by saying we are to take the lowest seat at the table. He said, when you're invited, go and sit down at the lowest place so that when your host comes, he may say to you, "Friend, move up higher," and then you will be honored in the presence of all who sit at table with you. Paul describes it as the way of Jesus Christ in Philippians 2. He says, "Do nothing out of selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility regard others as better than yourself. Let each of you look not to your own interests, but to the interests of others. And let the same mind be in you that was in Christ Jesus." Now, some have misinterpreted humility as being a doormat for others or self-humiliation. But Jesus never supported people not valuing their own life and gifts. That is a warped view of humility. Sometimes people have misinterpreted humility to mean that they should go so far in putting the interest of others first that they really exalt themselves with self-righteousness and pride, hoping to be considered great for being so selfless. Jesus was not for this either. He knows our hearts and minds. So what is true humility? Well, what if it means going against our culture? Our culture says we should constantly be striving to move up in the world, to be better, best, number one. We're supposed to look good all the time, Instagram and Facebook ready. Upward mobility is the name of the game. In jobs, in school, in communities. It can even be this way in churches. But Jesus offers a different way. The way of coming down, of self-emptying, of humility. And he says that those who exalt themselves will be humbled, and those who humble themselves will be exalted. So the true way up is by coming down. This principle of humbling and exalting is also found in Proverbs 29:23. Jesus turned that old proverb into a parable when he sees the people at the Pharisee's house vying for the best seats. This is when Jesus says, "When you're invited, do not sit at the place of honor, but go and sit at the lowest place." All of this coming down is contrary to our natural human desire to be better or best or first. Priest and author Henry Nouwen wrote, "The story of our salvation stands radically over and against the philosophy of upward mobility. The great paradox which Scripture reveals to us is that real and total freedom can only be found through downward mobility. The Word of God came down to us and lived among us as a slave. The divine way is the downward way." But how can we embrace this downward way of Jesus Christ? I mean, how do we let go of pride and arrogance and get real about ourselves? How do we truly love one another by putting others first? Because it's not easy. It's not easy to just walk out of here, rid ourselves of all pride, and suddenly start putting everyone first, is it? Humility is actually a gift to be learned and practiced. Remember last week when we talked about surrender and letting go? What if this is one of those areas where we have to let go of our pride and surrender our egos so that we might accept the gift of humility? Reverend James Harnish, who wrote Living with the Mind of Christ, has some wise and practical advice for those of us who are trying to learn and practice humility. First, he says, let go of all that pride. Don't take yourself too seriously. Learn to laugh at yourself. When was the last time you laughed at yourself? Seems like there are regular occasions for this in my life and ministry. Rick Warren, the author of The Purpose-Driven Life, says that most of us take ourselves too seriously and don't take God seriously enough. He also reminds us that humility and humor come from the same root word. British writer and theologian G.K. Chesterton said that all the saints had the power of levity. It is easy to be heavy, but hard to be light. Satan fell by gravity. Angels can fly because they take themselves so lightly. Ooh, I love that image, flying, laughing angels. So how might you start laughing at yourself a bit more? Can you think of any ridiculous things you've done lately? If I were to start confessing, we'd be here all day. But we can't take ourselves too seriously if we want to be humble. The other bit of advice from Reverend Harnish, another way to find humility, treat other people like royalty. Why? It's that putting others first mindset of Christ. So let's imagine each person that you meet is an honored guest coming to dinner at your house, or an important person coming to a meeting at your office, or a famous leader coming here to the church. What would it mean for us to treat all people royally? Imagine someone that you don't treat this way. What would it mean to start treating them as royalty? And why is this such a powerful exercise? It's meaningful because it's the way God treats us. God treats each one of us as royalty. Of course, Jesus is our example in the downward way. Jesus took his relationship with God very seriously, but he took his life more lightly. Jesus loved parties. How many times do we read about him at a dinner party? His first miracle, turning water into wine, was to keep a wedding feast going. And Jesus treated everyone as royalty, especially the prostitutes, the tax collectors, those others would have never invited to dinner. He treats us as royalty, even when we've done our worst, fallen off the wagon, committed the same old sins. Have you ever had people in your life like Jesus, treating you like royalty? Think back for a moment about the most treasured people in your life. How did they make you feel important, that you matter, that you have potential for greatness? James Harnish says, "Isn't it interesting that the great people in our lives are not the most proud and haughty who try to impress us with their greatness, but instead they are usually the ones who help us achieve greatness?" So what about us? To whom can we go and encourage their greatness? Who can you mentor? Who can you encourage? Who can we lift up today, this week? Talk about a changed world. What if we all took on this attitude and spent time helping someone else achieve greatness? We all have people in our lives we can exalt besides ourselves. And along the way, we can find ourselves laughing at our own pride. Humility is a way of life we can embrace by embracing the people around us instead of just ourselves. We can take that lowest seat at the table. We can empty ourselves, knowing that ultimately Jesus is the one who will lift us up. The Spirit will encourage us, mentor us, and exalt us. We do not need to take on this task ourselves. We don't have to move ourselves up in life. And we don't always have to learn humility the hard way by doing something supremely silly. Sometimes we can learn it by doing something right, by following in the footsteps of Christ. Humility is a way of life that brings as much joy for us as the kind of joy we receive when humble people bless our lives. So go ahead and sit down low. Take the last place in line. Let all the other cars go first and take time to encourage someone who needs a little boost. Then laugh at that ridiculous thing you did. We'll never regret this way of life, this coming down, because it is the way to new life in Christ, and it is sheer joy because it is the good news of the gospel. And for it, all God's people can say together, Amen.